So we're going to go to the book of Joshua, which is where we have been for the latter few weeks. I have a little bit of gap in this sermon series because I've got two guest speakers over the next, 3 or 4 weeks. And then Caleb preached a couple of 3 weeks ago, so it was a little bit, it kind of divides a little bit, but that's okay. Pause and think and ponder on it and connect to it. And that's the way I pray that you're doing this. You know, you read the scripture in its historical context. You look for the things that are, that belong within the actual event itself. But we also pray that God speaks a prophetic word to us from the text of scripture. Don't you? I do. I'm looking for God to speak to my heart in some way. So I want you to read with me here in the 8th chapter of the book of Joshua. We're going to read on down. It's going to take just a little bit of time, but that's okay. We're not in too big a hurry. I don't have a long sermon for you. I know you don't believe that, but it's true. Verse number 1, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourself. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. For I and all the people that are with me will approach into the city, and it shall come to pass that when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city. For they will say, They flee before us, as at the first. Therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be when you have taken the city that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord shall you do. See, I have commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night amongst the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people to Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. So you're following this with me, and I'm not going to elaborate on it at all right now. Let's just read it. He took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liers in wait on the west of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. It came to pass when the king of Ai saw it that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain, but he wist not. I love that. Your Message Bible doesn't read it that way. Tragic for you. But he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them, and they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Stretch out the spear that is in thine hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand towards the city. And the ambush rose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as they had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, now I know it's very graphic here, so we're just going to have to, we have to read the Word of God for the way it's written. We read it in its context here. It is very graphic. They saw and behold the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven, and they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. When Joshua and all of Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, and that the smoke of the city ascended, that they turned again. Then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them, so that they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side. And they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness wherein they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. And only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai, and made it a heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. So last verse in this context, we'll read one verse in a moment. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening time, and as soon as the sun went down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering in of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. So just a little glimpse into the life of the pastor, the preacher for a moment. One of the great challenges, certainly pastorally, is sermon preparation. There's a lot of factors that go in place that it's hard to always explain because, as it's been said before, it'll be said again, but it's got to burn in me before it can burn in you. And so I have to seek this word and pray for it and ask the Lord and for direction and clarity. And it's easy to preach. It's easy to preach things that you might be, you know, that I might be dealing with, but maybe it's not the word for this assembly or things that, you know, in our culture today, we're so surrounded in media from, you can follow the news, and when you follow the news and the events that are taking place in the political world or around the world, it's easy to take the pulpit and kind of minister in the backdrop of that. And sometimes that's the appropriate thing to do, but sometimes that's not the thing to do at all. And so I was telling Sister Sherry on Thursday evening, I said, you know, Friday morning is my sermon prep. It's the time that I just lock myself in my office, do my very best to shut down anything and any points of contact and just be alone with the Lord. And I was a little bit struggling with it on Thursday evening as I was telling her that. I said, I don't really know exactly where to go. I'm in this journey here with conquest. We're following Joshua and the children of Israel in their pursuit of the promised land or their possession of the promised land. But I know where I'm at, but I don't know exactly how to apply it. And so, but one thing I've learned about the grace of God, God is so faithful. So I've learned this over the years. It may not happen to you, but it happens to me quite often. Often on a struggle like that, when I go to bed with it on my heart and my mind, when I get up in the morning, the very first thought that enters my mind is typically the answer from the Lord. And so I'm walking across the floor, having just gotten out of bed. And as I'm walking across the floor, not that I say I heard the voice of the Lord, but it was quickened in my spirit, this next verse. And when this next verse is what brought it all into agreement. So we're going to ask you to, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to turn to the New Testament. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians. And we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It's on the screen in front of you, but I'm going to turn the old-fashioned pages of the Bible here. I'm going to read verse number 14. For standing there in the living room floor at 1820 Little Rock Road, I heard this quickening in my spirit that said, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor or the fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place. And I know that's King James English, and there'll be a little clarity that's added to you, but I'm grateful today, so I want to preach to you. I borrowed from an old song that I'll tell you about in just a little bit today by giving you this message, Victory is Mine. That's the song, that's the sermon title, that's in my heart today, Victory is Mine. Let's pray about it, and let's ask the Lord to help us. God, today I'm humbled to be here, Father, today, and it was a struggle, God, to press through certain things to arrive here today, at a moment when I could publicly ask that you would allow the Holy Spirit, God, to quicken the Word of God within my heart and my words today, that the people, Father, would receive the engrafted Word of God. I've prayed it many times, Father, and I'll pray it again, that God, that you would give me the tongue of the learned today, God, that I might have a word in season for he that is weary, God. I pray, Father, that preaching would come easy in this house, and there would be a sweet fragrance of a living Christ among us today, God. It's in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen and amen. I'm going to take you back for a moment of time to this in the book of Joshua. Now, if you're new to our study here, as I transitioned from following the children of Israel in what's known as the Exodus and the wilderness journey, and that upon the death of Moses, a new leader was given authority amongst the children of Israel named Joshua, the son of Nun. It's been a challenge, and it's been strengthening my heart of faith as I followed this season of conquest. Moses was prohibited from taking the children of Israel into the promised land. He had been ordained of God to bring them out of Egyptian bondage. But we see this. It was a warfare. It's a season of conquest. You don't have conquest without warfare. You don't have victory without battle. Come on, somebody. And so we get to see this, and we're able to adapt to it and identify with it and to look at it. And if you don't understand like where we're at in chapter 8, you don't understand some of the events that happened previously, and I can't go back and re-preach them, but we know where we are, I think. The children of Israel had taken the city of Jericho, the first and the great city, once they had crossed the River Jordan. It was that intimidating fortress that had housed the Canaanite people. And they saw a great victory as the walls of Jericho fell down flat. The supernatural power of God. Even to this very day, archaeologists have discovered the walls of Jericho as if an unseen hand had pushed them and pushed them down. And so, but we also then followed that story till the children of Israel started the second battle. The second battle was where we were at last week briefly at a smaller city called Ai. And the children of Israel had only sent just a few men into battle because they believed that they could take it quickly, only to flee before the men of Ai. 36 Israelites lost their life, and the heart of the people melted and melted quickly. And that's been something that we've observed in this whole journey, how quickly that you could go from speaking the word of faith to being overcome in fear to the people, anyhow, the people of ancient Israel. And so the discovery was then made as Joshua prayed before the Lord, asking and interceding for God's direction and the reason why, as God brought him answer. The people had taken a cursed thing among them. Does anybody remember the sermon from last week? Achan of the tribe of Judah had taken, in the midst of the heat of the battle, he had saw three things that had caught his eye, and he coveted, and he took them, a Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a golden wedge that historians tell us it was very possibly a tongue of an idol that he had taken out of an idolatrous temple that was inside the city of Jericho. Whether or not it was enough that he took it back and he buried it under his tent. And in doing so, he brought an accursed thing into the nation of Israel, and God judged the people as a result of it. And so when Achan then, as the seventh chapter concludes, corporate and capital punishment has been administered to Achan and possibly his household. I spoke that last week, and I said that his family was brought to watch it. And it's debated by scholars whether his family actually suffered the punishment that he did, and if they did, it would have been because they would have been privy to it and have been a part of his transgression. So whether or not that's the case, we won't dig all that up here today, but you can see the volatility of the moment. Failure. They're coming off of failure. They're coming off of a moment where they thought within themselves that this is going to be an easy battle. We're going to go. It's going to be quick. We're going to immediately take this city, only to flee before their adversaries. And when that begins to take place, something can permeate the heart and the mind of even God's people. That's called fear. I don't know about you. I've not won all of my battles. There have been some times I've made some poor decisions that's left me at a place where I was very vulnerable. I was very vulnerable to the next stage of my life, because I'm not coming off of the strength of victory. I'm coming off of the travail of defeat. And I'm searching in that moment for the direction of God. In this passage of Scripture, we see the faithfulness of God, how that God comes to Joshua, and he speaks a word to him. And from this, I'm going to begin to dialogue some things that I think that are pertinent to you, because there may be somebody under the sound of my voice today that you are in the midst of a battle, or either you're coming off even a season or a moment of failure, a moment of weakness, a moment where you thought that you had this thing and it was right in your grasp, only to look up and you weren't able to accomplish the thing that you hoped to accomplish. And you're just looking. You need something. I'll tell you what you need. You need a word from God. And so Joshua here, with the vulnerable moment that he's navigating the people through, the faithfulness of God, and the Lord comes to Joshua, and here's what he says to him. He says, "Joshua, fear not, and do not be dismayed." So here's what I want to just tell you just very quickly. I'm going to just cut it to the chase very quickly. It is that you got to have faith. This battle of life that we all find ourselves in, the challenges of life, there are seasons of peace, there are seasons of contentment, absolutely. Just like the Scripture always tells us, or does tell us, that there are seasons in life. But many times you find yourself either in a battle or on the edge of a battle. And if you're going to overcome, if you're going to be victorious, the thing that you must possess is faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to believe that God's going to give you the victory. The word of the Lord to Joshua was brief, but it was to the point. Don't fear, Joshua. Don't be dismayed. I've given you the city. Let me tell you, if God says, "I've given you the city," then he's given you the city. You just got to believe what God said. And if you believe what God said, then you can receive what he's promised. And so the reason why that I titled this sermon, "Victory is Mine," is this right here. I'm just going to open up a little moment in my past, because when I first came into the Pentecostal movement many long years ago, at 17 years of age, when I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I first started attending church in the Pentecostal charismatic vein, it was at the Prevailing Word Christian Center that's on the east side of the Spring Park. And there, as a young boy, a young teenager at that particular time, And immediately thereafter, we would go to a couple of tent meetings with an evangelist. So we had the church there. We would go to a tent meetings with an evangelist named Charles Thompson. And at the end of many of those services, they would sing a song. And the old song, I think it was an old hymnal, or it might even have been a Baptist, but it had been worked up in that Pentecostal charismatic fervor. But they would sing an old song that said, "Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind, for victory today is mine." And I can still sometimes this day be walking around the house, or walking out in the pasture, or walking right here in the church, and all of a sudden, bubbling up inside of my spirit, I hear those words of that same song echoing in my heart. "Victory is mine." And it doesn't mean that I've got the victory as of yet. It means God has granted me that victory, and it's my responsibility to believe by faith that in the heat of the battle, victory is mine. Glory to God. Victory is mine. And so you've got to believe, church family. What's God promised you? What's God said to you in this season of life that you're in right now? Then you've got to trust him for it. You can't fall back. Let me tell you, God does not pacify us in our unbelief. Go ahead and if you don't catch anything at all, catch what I'm about to tell you right now, is that you accept this. God is not going to come to you and pacify you as you wallow in self-pity and unbelief. He's not singing the song or the dirge of your sorrow. He will look you in the eye in the midst of despair, and he will say, "Fear not, believe only, get up. The battle is at hand. I've given you the city. Take your rightful place. Stand in front of the people. Speak to the word of the people, a prophetic word, and do what I've called you to do." And you got to have the courage to obey the word of God. Come on, somebody. So very quickly, number one, you just got to believe. You have to believe, church family. Number two, I think part of it is our mindset. I think we, especially when you're coming off a failure, as I'm preaching a little bit about that, coming off a failure, it's almost like we don't want to talk about it in the church because we want everybody to think that we haven't had any failure. And I know that you look up here at Pastor Brown and you think, "Oh man, he's holy and he's walking on a cloud all the time." Now, I'm sure you don't think that. It sounds good to preach it that way, but I'm telling you, I've come off a failure many times. I've come to a moment where I'm discouraged with myself. I'm aggravated at myself. I'm frustrated at myself. But here's one thing I've learned, that every battle is an opportunity for me to prove that I can be faithful to God. Number two, you got to see it that way. You got to say, this is an opportunity to prove that by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I'm going to overcome as he overcame. You know, there's a scripture. I'm kind of probably getting ahead of myself today. I love this scripture. I can still remember the very first time that I heard it preached. I heard it preached down at, I think it was Cummins Prison or one of the prisons. Pastor Larry Burton preached this message. And I was in the crowd that day, one of the ministry staff got getting to go, and he spoke this word to those men that were in prison. And he spoke a word, I believe it's from the prophet Micah in the Old Testament, one of the passages that was, or books that were just quoted by the kids. And it says this, it says, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I have fallen, I shall yet arise." And you got to live life that way. And you got to say, this battle that's in front of me is an opportunity that I'm going to be faithful to God. That by the grace of God, I'm not going to stumble in unbelief. By the power of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of me, yes, I know I failed. I know I missed God, but I repented of my sin. I confessed my sin. I trust the Lord, and this time I'm going to overcome. Did you know in the city of Ai would have been the same temptation that was in the city of Jericho? There would have been the similar spoil. There would have been similar things that the people could have coveted. But they had an opportunity to say, but you know what? I can overcome, and so can you. Let me tell you today that because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, you have the ability to overcome and to prove that you're going to be faithful to God. Let me tell you what every battle is. Every battle is also, number three, it's an opportunity for you to prove that God is faithful. It's an opportunity. I'm telling you, God does not shy away from battle. He's a warrior king. Come on, somebody. And every battle that you're going through, every season of your life where you know the heat of battle is upon you, that is an opportunity for you to prove God's faithfulness, that God said that he would do what he would do, and he will do it if you will believe it. So every battle, do you look at it that way? I think it begins with a mindset. I can do nothing of myself. The reason why I believe the Spirit of the Lord quickened that word in my heart as I walked across my living room floor was I was looking in Joshua. I'd gone to bed with Joshua on my mind that night, but when I rose up, I was reminded that the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 that God causes me to triumph. I can do nothing of myself. It's the victory is His. Come on, somebody. He provides the strength. The battle is His. The victory might be mine, but the battle is His. And when I know that, I can then trust that God never loses any battles. He's faithful to His Word. He's faithful to fulfill His Word and to complete His Word. But are you trusting Him? Do you look at life that way as an opportunity? No matter how difficult or negative the circumstances of life are you seeing them as an opportunity for God to show Himself strong on your behalf? Did you know there's a scripture, I believe it's in 2 Chronicles. I think it's 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. Brother Ernest spoke it prophetically to me last Sunday morning. It says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro in all the earth, looking for someone that he can show himself mighty on their behalf. I'm telling you, the eyes of God can land on you, and he will prove his faithfulness to you and to his word. Come on, somebody. Victory is mine. But you know, in the midst of this battle, one of the things as I was reading this, I noticed that there was a different strategy the second time around. And I think that's very, very important. So number four, drop this in your spirit. Sometimes you need a new strategy. So let's back up and think about that for just a moment of time. If you look at what took place, and you'll go back into the, I think, the sixth chapter of Scripture. It might have been the seventh chapter, sixth or seventh chapter, when they were getting ready to fight the first battle with the city of Ai. They had sent out spies And the spies came back and said, listen, this city is not as big as Jericho. It's not as heavily fortified. There's not as many people. So therefore, we don't need to send the same amount of warriors, or we don't need to send the same amount of our fighting force to take the city. And so they underestimated the power of the adversary. And that's a failure. That's something we have to guard ourselves from as well. Come on, someone. And so with this, though, very quickly, a new strategy was needed. And I don't know if you noticed here. So when they went to the battle, they only sent out 2,000 to 3,000 people originally in the first failed attack. But on the second time, the new strategy this time is totally different. This time they send out 30,000 men. But why is that? Because previously I noticed this as I was comparing the two. They never enlisted the counsel of God. They never asked the Lord. They sized up the city. They looked at the size of their army, and they said, we can take the city with this few number of people, and we don't even need to send all of the host of the fighting men. But nobody ever took the time to say, God, what do you want us to do? Lord, I need your direction. God, I'm asking you that before I go into this battle, I need a strategy, because my adversary is going to have a strategy. There are going to be things, there are going to be battles, there's going to be things that are coming against me, and I've got to have the mind of Christ. I can't have those carnal, sensual wisdom of this world with this earthly, sensual, and devilish. I've got to have the supernatural wisdom of God to know, because I've got to be able to stand against the wiles of my adversary. And so I need a divine strategy in order to go into this battle. And so I know they say this often. Everyone knows this, that the definition of insanity is this, and that's continuing to do the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And so sometimes in life, you got to draw back and say, God, I need the supernatural wisdom of God, the mind of God. I need clarity. And you don't advance into battle until you have it. The errors of our past many times could be drawn down to this. We acted of our own selves without clear direction from God. That's a good word for somebody. Matter of fact, I'm going to camp on it for just a moment of time. How many of you believe that there's something that dwells with God today? That the Bible actually says dwells with God, and it was with him from the beginning. It's called wisdom. Wisdom. Read it in the book of Proverbs. It says, I, wisdom, was with him in the beginning. How many of you know that in order for you and I to be effective in any type of either spiritual warfare or just walking out the walk of faith, you need the divine wisdom of God? And so therefore, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to every man freely and upbraideth not. You pray, you seek counsel, you ask the Lord, and you wait on the Lord for his direction. Oh, how the battle changed when the direction came from God instead of men. Oh, how the outcome changed when it was the divine revelation that God ordered their steps versus them choosing their path. I'm preaching better than y'all responding. I'm just going to tell you very quickly. Because your life is going to come down to where you're at in life at a certain space typically comes down to a few critical decisions that you made along the way. And if you fail to obtain the wisdom of God and the direction of God, then you're going to fall in error. But when you have the mind of God and the wisdom of God, and the direction of God, how many know then victory is yours? Come on, somebody. So let me tell you, in this battle of life, this journey that you find yourself, and taking the things that are in front of you, sometimes a new strategy is needed. And in this new strategy is something that was just stood out to us this time. And that is, they set an ambush. And this is powerful. I want you to think about this for a moment, because we're going somewhere here, and we're going to fold this together in a second of time. An ambush. Did you catch that? So the last time, it seems as if that 3,000 fighting force just went right up against the walled city. The walled city probably launched arrows against them. And so therefore, a few of them probably perished in the battle. And then they turned their backs to their adversary. And then every man left the city of Ai and followed after them. That's how it would have probably taken place. But this time, the Lord had given wisdom to Joshua. And he said, I want you to send a group to a certain location and hide there. And the rest of us are going to come in from the front. And it's going to look like that that this is all there is, what's in front. And when the battle starts, we're going to turn our backs one more time, and we're going to take off. And when we take off, he said, notice, I think they'll leave the city. And that's exactly what took place. That outside the city, so that the scripture tells us that as that group of men that started fighting, probably throwing arrows and launching, you know, an assault against the city of Ai, and Ai begins to respond, that group of people turn and run like they had done previously, unbeknownst to the men of Ai, as they vacated their stronghold, that there was an ambush behind them that came into the city, and then the men were caught in between. And that's how the children of Israel took the battle. Now, what does that mean for you and I here today? Number one, let me drop this down in your heart just real quickly. The enemy doesn't know everything that God's doing. Can I just tell you that right there? Let me just tell you, I know that we fight against our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. And in the Pentecostal charismatic culture, we try to make him a deity. And we try to make him divine, and he is not. He does not know everything. He is not all-seeing or all-knowing. He is not. And there are some things that God holds from him. I'm telling you, God will lure the adversary out of his stronghold so that you can deal with him. Glory to God. I was thinking about this for just a moment. It just got down in my heart, and I felt it in my spirit that I should tell you, I believe in spiritual warfare. I believe in what Paul said in Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I understand that there are fallen angels and fallen entities, and yes, they have power, but they are not divine, and they don't know everything that God is doing, and you need to know that. There are some things God will hide from the adversary till just the right moment when he gets ready to bring it out, because he's got an ambush set that's going to pull the enemy out into the open where you can have victory. Glory to God. And I started thinking about that even deeper, because I thought, wait just a minute. Do you know what that is? You might tell you what that is. That is a revelation right there, that God will set an ambush. And I thought to myself, wait just a minute. I said, wait a minute, where have I seen this before? Where the enemy is lured out outside the gate, and he does something that he regrets. And the Lord quickened in my spirit, and I came along to tell you today, if you don't catch anything else from this moment forward, catch this right here. I want to tell you today that Calvary was an ambush. I'm telling you, Calvary was an ambush. Because if you've read in the book of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, by divine revelation, said this, that if the princes of this world had known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. And so Calvary was this. The adversary had entered into Judas of Iscariot because he thought that if he could just get him out and kill him outside the gate, he could take the kingdom. But he did not know that God was setting him up for a fateful moment to pull him out where he would lose his stronghold. For there outside the gate, yes, Jesus did bleed and die. And yes, darkness fell upon the earth. And it looked like the Son of God had lost. But what the adversary didn't know was that the third day was coming when Jesus was going to be raised from the dead as the conquering King. Glory to God. And so I came along to tell you today, in your battle, I want you to know the enemy, you got to sometimes turn back on the enemy and say, enemy, we have lured you out of your stronghold to get you where you were, in our places where we could put our hands on you and get the victory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I love this today, church family. I'm telling you, God will set an ambush. He will. Because I'm telling you, he's always two steps in front of the adversary. And so the enemy lost his stronghold. I want to just camp on that for a moment, if you don't mind me doing it. It's not in my notes. I didn't have very much notes today, but this is in my heart. I want you to think about that with me for just a moment. Jesus' death on the cross. A lot of times in our battle and our warfare and us talking about this, we make it about us. We make it about, oh, I'm fighting this. I'm telling you, I just want to thank God for Jesus today. I would have no power against the adversary except for he spoiled principalities and powers. He made an open show of them, and he triumphed over them in it. He is the victorious one, and I'm now made more than a conqueror through him that loved us. And so I believe that on the tree, that was truly an ambush. That just like in the city of Ai, God lured the enemy outside the gate. For where did Jesus die? Outside the gate. And it was there that the enemy's power over us was broken. And you and I have victory through Christ's power and his resurrection. Thank God today. It's an ambush. And so today, victory. No wonder I can sing, victory is mine. Victory is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Victory today is mine. The reason why I can sing it, the reason why I can shout it, is because I'm aware of that fateful day in which Jesus Christ defeated principalities and powers on the tree. Glory to God. And 3 days later, he was raised again as the Lord of all glory. And so therefore, yes, you've got victory. Victory is yours if you choose to believe. Number six, there's only seven, then I'm closing this message to pray with you today. And that is, and then I saw something as I was studying this out just a little bit that just moved in my heart today. There was something that I saw. It said, in the 18th verse, I believe it was, it said, the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, when they're getting ready to go out to battle. He stretched his hand out. And then you read later in the text, I don't remember what verse, I think it's the 26th verse, it is. It says that Joshua kept his hand stretched out during the entire battle. Now, to make this make sense, you got to put it into its historical context. And so because when Joshua stretched his hand out in battle, it was an act of faith, it was an act of mediation, and it was an act of intercession. Amen. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're shouting. I'll just keep saying that until you catch up with me a little bit. He stretched his hand out as an act of faith, an act of mediation, and an act of intercession. But I'm going to tell you, as he heard the prophetic word of God, it puts us in context to when Moses stretched his hand out. Does anybody remember the very first battle of the children of Israel when they came out of Egyptian bondage? They had come to a place called Rephidim. And the scripture says that while camped there at Rephidim, that there was a battle with the Amalekites. And when they were in battle, the battle was on the valley. But Moses, the man of God that had the rod of God in his hand, that when Moses, the man of God, had taken his place on the mountain, and that the valley was in the battle, and Joshua was the one that was leading the warriors in the battle, and they're fighting in the battle, but they would grow tired because they looked up and Moses' hands would grow tired. And they noticed that when Moses' hands were high and were stretched out with the rod of God in the hand, then they would win the victory. But when Moses' hands would grow tired, then the scripture says that they would begin to lose. And so two men, Ben and Hur, the scripture tells us, they come alongside and they hold the hands up and then prop his hands up, and then there's victory for them. But what I found when I read this in that moment of time, Joshua did not need anybody to prop his hands up. That Joshua was able to hold forth his hands completely, extend the spear during the entirety of the battle. And how inspiring that must have been for the men in the heat of the battle, that when the warriors were coming against them out of the city of Ai, that they would look up and there was their captain, the one that had heard the voice of God, the prophetic word of God. And there he was, had his hands stretched out over them and saying, fight on, soldiers of Israel, for the battle is not yours, the battle is God's. And you say, Pastor Brown, what is that? That's a picture image of the one that lives right now to make intercession for you and I. For if we could only see into the eyes of the Spirit this morning, that Yahshua, Jesus, right now stands as a mediator between man and God, interceding for you and I. So no wonder the battle and the victory is yours. It's because Jesus is interceding for us. And so I want you to know today, you can do it. You can make it. You can overcome as he overcame, because he's interceding for you. Amen. Does anybody remember that when one of the first martyrs that took place, Stephen, took place outside the city of Jerusalem? He had been led out there by the Sanhedrin Council, the Jews that did not believe Christ was the Messiah. And as they stoned him with stones, the Bible says this, that he lifted up his eyes. That he lifted up his eyes. And he said, I see God on his throne. And I see the Son of Man at his side, standing there in intercession. And you say, Pastor Brown, Stephen lost the battle. No, he did not. No, he did not. He was faithful to the end. He was faithful to the end. He didn't curse the name of God. He worshiped the Lord all the way with his dying breath. He won the battle. Come on, somebody. And I want you to know, in the heat of your battle, you need to know this today, that he is interceding for you. I'm telling you, that helped me today. That helped me personally in my own life. Because let me tell you, sometimes it's a battle for the preacher to come to church. It's a battle to come here because I carry the weight of the responsibility of bringing you a word. And if my mind is if I'm struggling, and if I haven't come to peace with where I'm at in my sermon prep, and all of those things, it's just a battle. But as I was reflecting upon this early this morning, and I was reminded that Jesus is interceding for me. Come on, somebody. How that lifted my spirit to see my captain, to see him standing there with his hand stretched out and saying that the battle's not yours, the battle's mine. Victory belongs to those who believe. Come on, somebody. And lastly today, number 7, I drop this in your heart as we get ready to close today. Let me tell you what your victory is. Your victory is obedience to the Word of God. That's what your victory is. The end of that chapter is very challenging for us. I've been talking about this in this sermon series. It's hard for us in what we call the dispensation of grace to see God's judgment that included both the warriors of the city, but also women and children. It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to read those passages. People question it. They ask. And they say, but why in this? And I try to arrive at this place very quickly in this and say this. Church family, we don't have the answers for all things. And I can't alleviate some of that in your heart, but I can say this to you. I could say that our responsibility is to not question the revealed will of God, but rather simply be faithful to it. And so for the children of Israel, they had a hard task in front of them, and that was to slay the men, the women, and the children in the city of Ai, to leave none alive. But because they were faithful, they were victorious. And what's that saying to you not here today? Sometimes in your battle, there are hard things. They're just hard things. And sometimes there are things that you don't really want to do that God says to do. So your victory is when you walk in obedience to the Word of God. So let me say this here. As Daryl joins me on the platform, if he would, real quickly today. Let me say this to you. If God says mortify it, then you mortify it. If God says put it away, then you put it away, right? If the revealed Word of God is to you as a believer, when you read about it and you pray over it and you're saying, I'm wanting to overcome as Christ overcame. Well, if you're going to overcome as Christ overcame, you have to be obedient to the Word of God. You'll never be victorious without being obedient to the Word of God. And so I want to go back to that. I know it's a challenge for us to even read it, and I often put precursors on it when I'm speaking it publicly, because it's hard for us to contemplate it, because we see the grace of God today. We live in this dispensation of grace, and we see the mercy of God, and the kindness of God, and the compassion of God, and then we wonder about the things that were written there in that day. And I just want you to know, the Scripture says, how can we as the clay say to the potter? Our response is just, God, let me be faithful to what you've designed, what you've planned, and then be obedient to the Word of God. And that when I do that, then there's victory waiting on me. And so you as a believer in Christ Jesus, as you are walking out the faith that you're walking in, there's going to be some hard places. And God's going to say, mortify. And your response has got to be, I'm going to mortify. And the Lord's going to say, put away. And the Lord, and then you got to say, I'm going to put it away. And then if the Lord says, this is yours, then you need to take it. But if the Lord says, this is mine, then you need to give it. Without reasoning, without questioning, without redefining your expectation of God, just simply obeying the Word of God. Because when you obey the Word of God, God will get the glory and He'll give you the victory. He will always cause you to triumph when you're obedient to His Word. He will always cause you to try it. And in life, there are going to be some setbacks at times. There are going to be some disappointments. There are going to be some things that you hoped for that you didn't receive. There are going to be times that you're going to put your name in for a promotion on job and somebody else is going to be chosen. That doesn't mean that you lost that battle. It's how you respond will determine whether or not you won or lost that battle. There's just so many things in life that it's not in the natural that we get to say that was the actual battle. It's my response. And am I walking in the integrity and the grace? Some of you, under the sound of my voice, I've been thinking about this more and more for whatever reason. I think about the culture of abuse that we live in today. And the trauma. I don't know what brought it up in my mind. I was thinking about a young boy that I was raised up with here in Wilburn, and he was one of my best friends. And later, there was a discovery that was made in his family, and his stepfather it was molesting the girls in a horrific way. And the perpetrator and the abuser is deceased now. So, but I can remember my friend, when we were talking about later, he said, we had no idea. We had no idea that he would just call the girls into the house and we'd be outside. We didn't know. And I was thinking about the pain that people are dealing with. And that's a battle. Every day it's a battle. Every day a challenge. People get bad doctor's reports. That's a battle you're suddenly launched into. It's not having the battle. It's how you're responding. What's your mindset? What are you walking through? Are there some things? God will tell you to forgive even in the most difficult of circumstances. Won't he? God will tell you that even though you say that person doesn't deserve my forgiveness, that may be the case or not, but God gives forgiveness and he puts the expectation upon us to forgive. Sometimes that's one of the greatest battles that you'll ever have, is saying, God, I need that grace to be able to forgive. And I know that seems a little bit outside of the context of the message to even bring up something of that nature. The reason why I brought it up, it was in my mind, was this. I was thinking about the struggle of life for so many people. But I want you to know the victory is yours in Christ. God can always cause you to triumph in Christ Jesus. If you live your life saying, God, I want my life to be a testimony for yours, that no matter what you've been through, God will turn that. He will turn it in such a way that the fragrance of Christ will be made known. When Paul's writing this to the Corinthian church, if you know anything about Paul's life, he's come through much suffering. And in the midst of that, he said, in the midst of all of that, disappointment and heartache and struggle, he said, God will always cause me to triumph because the fragrance of Christ will be known through us. Victory is yours. Do you believe that today? The children of Israel, at a precarious moment in their history, was coming off of a great defeat. And God spoke a prophetic word to Joshua and said, Joshua, get up. Go and take the city. I've given it to your hand. You can be victorious even when you're coming off a season of defeat, if you follow the counsel of God. Come on, somebody. Your best days can be in front of you, not behind you. Right? You can have a brighter day. Come on. I want you to just camp there with me for just a second. There's no more notes. No, nothing of that. But I just want you to believe. As a pastor, that's my hope. That when I bring you a word, I do my very best. I say, oh, God, I want to be studied. So typically, I'm well studied. I want to be well prepared. Typically, I over prepare. Then I say, I want to preach. Typically, and I know this, I need no amens, I over preach. I know that because I go back and listen to the messages. So I know. Oh, would to God I'd have just cut it off right here. But the whole thing, I want to be animated. I want to have a holy life. I want to, because when I come here with the word, I want the word to instruct you, inspire you, correct you as necessary, reprove you as needed, to bring you to the place that you have faith in your heart that you can say, you know what? Victory's mine if I believe that with God all things are possible. I may be coming off a tough moment like the children of Israel was at Ai, and fear is trying to rise in my heart, but God has a word for me. Victory is mine. That's my hope for you today. Won't y'all stand up with me today? Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Come on, somebody, under your breath, you can say, victory today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind, for victory today is mine. How many of you know you can live a victorious life in Christ Jesus? You can be victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil by the grace of God. Let me say it one more time. Y'all missed that. You can be victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil because victory is yours in Christ. Our heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment of time. Who here today says, Pastor Brown, I've been going through a battle. I've been going through a battle today. You brought a word of encouragement to me. But I need prayer today for any reason at all. I don't know what time it is today. I'll look at it real quickly if that'll make some of you feel better. It's 11:40. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Brown, today, Pastor, it's my pastor and friend, would you pray with me today? If that's you, if you quickly come to the front right now by faith in the name of Jesus, just as a simple act of faith, we'll come alongside of you and we'll pray for you and we'll pray that God will give you victory. He'll always cause you to triumph in Christ Jesus. There's no shame at all in saying I'm in the middle of a battle, a season in my life. If there's anyone here today under the sound of my voice, I'll wait on you today. Our church family will wait on you for a moment today because we care for one another. We care for one another in Jesus' name today. In the name of the Lord today, I thank the Lord for his presence in this room today. Come on, somebody. Amen. We're waiting on the Lord, and I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. And we say, well, Pastor, I really don't need anybody to necessarily just pray for me, but I just want to come and just stand in faith and just be reminded that victory's mine, that victory's mine. We'll pray a corporate prayer, and we'll walk out of this place today and beat the Baptist to the restaurant today. And that'll be all good, and we'll be grateful for it. But I don't want you to walk out of here defeated. I don't want you to walk out of here and your head be down and walking in struggle and sorrow of heart. I want you to walk out of this place today with a song in your heart, with faith in your heart, saying, victory's mine. God's going to give me the victory. He's faithful. He's gracious. I'm going to do my part, but God's going to do his. Come on, somebody. In Jesus' name, I want to ask a couple to begin to pray here, if y'all don't mind. Just little by little, let's just pray today. Not many have come forward. I'm not going to take that as any personal response to me or the message. I'm going to say the message then is bigger than just this moment because your battle's bigger than this moment. The challenges of life are bigger than this moment. God, they're bigger than this moment, but God, we're going to believe today. We're going to believe today, Father, for victory. Who'll believe with me right now in Jesus' name for victory? That's a fair thing. God, we want victory. God, you will always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Father, as we walk in obedience to the word of God, Father, I pray, Lord, today, do a work of grace that's real in Jesus' name, a work of faith. A work of faith today, a work of faith. It's a work of faith, isn't it? It's a work of faith, God. I bless today, Justin. God, today, Tristan, today, my neighbors and my friends, God, today, I bless them in the name of the Lord. God, victory. God, grant them victory. God, give them complete victory, Father, over the adversary, Father, over the world, the flesh, and the devil, God. Father, let them walk out of this room today, God, with that old song in their heart, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, have you told Satan to get thee behind? If you tell him to get me behind, he's got to get behind, and you've got victory in Jesus' name. Give him no place. Give no place to your adversary, the devil, and walk in faith in Jesus' name. And victory is yours. It's a word of faith. It's a word of faith that's given to you today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, I bless today, Father, in Jesus' name. Y'all just pray with us for just a moment more. God, today I pray with Charlotte today, Father. Victory. God, victory. Victory in Jesus' name. Victory. Charlotte, the Lord says to you, believe. Believe. Believe the word of the Lord. Believe the promises of God. God is not a man that he should lie. The things that he's promised, he's whispered in your heart and in your spirit. He will bring them to pass. But believe. Fear not. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't look to the left hand or to the right. Keep your eyes set in front of you and stand upon the authoritative word of God and believe. And God will be faithful in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord today. God, today, Father, I pray over our church family. Let's pray for one another today. God, today, I know that the battle goes far beyond simply the three individuals or the four individuals that walk to the front of this church. Every one of us have a battle. Every one of us have challenges. Every one of us have found ourselves on the backside of the failure of Ai, questioning and asking and probing, feeling defeated, wondering and searching, even questioning whether we had the strength for battle anymore when you came to us. You came to us and you encouraged us and you breathed a fresh word into us today and on that day, and you strengthened us. And I pray, Father, today for those that are under the sound of my voice, God, strengthen them in their battle. God, I know that many of them fight some very, very real struggles. Some fight depression every day. It's a battle. Some fight the pain of abuse that I talked about a moment ago. Every day, it's a battle. Every day. Every day. They still deal. Some fight the pain of neglect where a spouse divorced them and left them, and their heart still hurts, and they fight the pain of that every day. God, would you strengthen them for the battle? Would you strengthen them, God? I pray over my church family today. My heart was heavy for you today, church family. My heart is heavy for you. I want you to be victorious in Christ. I want you to let this word be written on the tablet of your heart. God will always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Say it with me under your breath, if you would. God will always cause me to triumph in Christ Jesus. God's plan for you to be victorious in Christ. He won the victory. He gives the victory. The victory is yours. There's a passage in the Word of God, the Old Testament, that says, the battle is not yours, but it's mine. So even in the midst of your battle, there's that part of you that says, God's already finished it. God's already completed it. Through Christ, on the cross, at the tree, he fought this battle, so I walk in the strength of his victory. So today, Father, as the pastor's heart is heavy for his church family, I pray, God, for victory. Victory, Father, in the name of Jesus, that when men and women walk out of this room here in just one moment, in the closing backdrop of this sermon today, they're going to walk out of here today, and in their heart, this week, victory is mine will be their the resounding cry of their spirit. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. You may have to get up on Monday morning and a thousand different... See, right now you feel good. Right now you feel like you're on the mountaintop, but tomorrow may be a different experience altogether, and you got to get up tomorrow and you got to say, victory is mine. Today, victory is mine. You're going to tell Satan to get thee behind because victory today is mine. So, Lord, today I bless the people to be victorious in Christ. Come on, somebody. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen and amen and amen and amen. Listen, love.